What news do you listen to? Okay, what's your favorite website you go for the news or watch on TV? Is it Al Jazeera? Any Al Jazeera fans out there? There's a couple. And how about this one, Fox News? Keep your hands down, don't let anybody know. Okay, Fox News. All right, we've got a few Fox News guys out there. CNN? Yeah, CNN. And how about BBC World News? Okay, yeah. So we got that. Well, there's different ones and local ones and everything, but we've got to admit the big story this past week had to deal with the Brexit, the United Kingdom taking a referendum to exit the European Union, and the markets are reeling. Everybody's wondering what's going to the real long-term effects of all this. And in case you're just hearing this news, it was 17.4 million to leave and 16.1 to stay, and the leaves won. Well, what was the reaction? Well, for Prime Minister Cameron, of course, it was one of sadness. He wanted to stay in, and it's led to him even resigning from office effective in October. And, of course, our German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, is saying, you know, let's don't get overreact too quickly. Let's stay calm and as we go through this process of UK exiting. But the good news came from this guy. He said it's a good thing, so we can relax. He said it's a good that UK finds their identity again. That's said tongue-in-cheek, okay? But the good news, the reason you're here, is to hear the Word of God. And that's what you need to be focused on, and don't be shaped by world events. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, let the Word of God renew our minds to think like we're supposed to think. And all kinds of things are happening in this world, good things and bad things. But what do we do to shape our thinking? It's from the Word of God. And so we're going to continue in our study of the book of Hebrews, and may God bless you and I as we do that. Supremacy of Christ, that's what it's all about. Christ is number one. This is what the book of Hebrews gets our focus on. It's not about anything else but Christ. He is God's last and greatest word to us from God the Father. If you're going to memorize a few verses from Hebrews, these are ones I would suggest you start with. And this is Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. You can't see that on the bottom, but that's what it is. It's from chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, these days now that we're living in, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, he's the one we need to be listening to, and it's not any political leader today or any political system that has a solution for world. The solution for a world in peace and a world of goodness is Christ, and we need to listen and focus on him. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and this world is staying and existing still, not because of physicist analysis, no, but because of his very word. So we listen to him, and we went on to see that Christ is not only the last word, that great word we need to listen to, but he's greater than angels. Remember the religions that start because of angels? Even Islam involved Gabriel speaking to Muhammad, supposedly, and getting a more revelation. Mormonism, the Church of Latter-day Saints, it comes from an angel appearing and talking to Joseph Smith. So don't think that people aren't deceived by thinking angels are greater than Christ, and they have been. And they will continue to be, but the Word of God is reminding you and me what Christ is greater than angels. And that was found in chapters 1 and 2. He's more than just a messenger. He is the Savior. He is the Word that became flesh, the message from God that salvation is found in no one else but in the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. He is the Savior. And, no angels can come and tell you stuff, but they can't save you. They can't go to a cross and die for you. No, that was only for one, and that was for the Son. He's more than just a servant. Yes, he's a servant king, but he is the Son of God, and angels worship and serve the living Christ. He's much better than angels. So God's last and greatest word spoken by his son, Christ is greater than angels. And what we looked at very briefly last week and we'll continue today is Christ is greater than Moses. Moses is a pretty good guy, right? But we don't think of him in terms of the really the father, the deliverer of us as a people. But if you're Jewish, you certainly did. Christ as the builder receives greater glory than Moses. Moses led those people out of slavery. You know, when Pharaoh had his heart hardened, he would not let the people go to worship God. But finally, God broke him, and Moses led those people out of Egypt into the wilderness. And the house in which Moses served is the house in which Jesus is Lord. That's all we learned from last week, Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, the last time we looked at Hebrews. Greater than Moses. Well, today's I entitled the sermon Soft Hearts and Listening Ears. But actually, this is Christ is Greater than Moses, part 2. Okay. So if you think of it in terms of the house building, you got this building project that Moses is working on, and it's called the Israelites. And you've got God's working in the same house of believers, but now that house is opened up to what is called the church, the called out ones from all the Gentile nations coming in to this to be this part of the people of God. And as we near the return of Christ, we're going to see a repenting going on among the nation of Israel, and then it all fits together into one people of God. But this, where we're at today is comparing these two houses as how one house responded in unbelief and how you and I are encouraged not to be unbelievers. So that gives you kind of the context of where we're headed. And we'll try to pick, it's a long passage. You got your little, your bulletin insert. I try not to make this boring and we'll go through it, but it's pretty good stuff. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, how many of you people ever listen to the Holy Spirit? Sure you do. That's what you're doing right now. Every time you open up the Word of God and you look at it, you're looking at what? What Holy Spirit says. This is why we call it the inspiration of Scriptures. What you have is not just merely written by a bunch of guys over a period of many years. No, it was wholly inspired. This is as, therefore, this writer of Hebrews is saying, as the Holy Spirit says. And he's quoting from Psalm 95, 7 to 11. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And I think it shows up in can I check yours out just a minute? I think we had some. Okay, not so much in the printout. Okay, you can do this with your pen or whatever. This is this verse, chapter 3, verse 7. And then in verse 15. And then in chapter 4, verse 7. You're going to see this phrase repeated. And it's a quote from Psalm 95, 7 to 11, a great, great psalm. But today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And if you can walk away with that in your head, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, you've caught the essence of these many verses from chapter 3 and 4. Let's say it together just to make sure if we're here. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay, one more time, we'll stop. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As in the rebellion. We'll look at that a little bit. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Now, if you want to read about this testing, we're getting chopped off here on this these slides, but it should be Exodus chapters 13 through 17 and then Numbers chapters 14, 8 through 9, you can see how this testing of God, and remember, even when the Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he told Satan, you shall not test the Lord your God. But these people, in their rebellion, they tested him. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, we often speak of God as being a God of love. He's also a God of wrath, of anger. But his anger and my anger and your anger is different. His is holy, holy, holy anger. It doesn't negate his love. Often when I get angry, and those people who know me and my family will tell you, when my anger kicks in, it's not from the Lord. Okay. There have been times I think I've had a holy anger, but for the most part, the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness which God requires, James 1:20. But what was this rebellion going on? So the two spies, guys know their names? Joshua and Caleb, and they ripped their shirts apart because the other spy says, no, we can't go in. God's gonna let us die at the hands of our enemies. And he said, no, the land's here for our taking. And these two guys couldn't bear to hear the lack of faith in the others. And they said, do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us, and do not fear them. And nobody listened to Caleb and Joshua. Well, they're the only two guys who didn't rebel, and they're the only two guys who got to go in the promised land. And so, for the next 40 years, remember what happened? They wandered in. Here's a cartoon figure. It says, Moses talking to the Israelites says, good news, just 40 laps around the wilderness for disobeying God. You know, but the bad news is that every lap takes 1 year. No, that's a joke. That's from reverendfun.com if you like to go there and you can get some jokes. Okay. But it wasn't so funny because 90 people were dying daily for 40 years. If you estimate 600,000 plus men and then 600,000 plus women, that whole generation had to wander around and die. And God's wrath, he said, I'm not letting you in because why? You've disobeyed. And you didn't believe me. And we'll unpack that a little bit more. But But he still fed them. He still gave them water. And believe it or not, for 40 years, they didn't have to go to the clothing store or shoe store. So God in his wrath and God in his mercy, they're both operating. They don't cease to operate. That's who he is. Well, how do we keep from hardening our hearts? Well, that's going to come more clear, how to keep from hardening our hearts in verses 12 through 15. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But that what whenever you see that contrast, but that means what follows is very, very important. Okay, don't fall away, but do what? So this is the corollary to not falling away. Exhort one another every day. What kind of day? Every day. Today is one of those every days. Tomorrow will be another every day, and the day after tomorrow, every day. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today. You know? Today. Chinese, right? Today. That none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. We know there's the grand deceiver who wants to devour us and tear us down, the evil one. And we're told in Jeremiah that our heart is deceptive. And who can understand it, you know? But we're talking about the sin thing, this deception of sin. It is there. And we've got to be aware of it. Exhort one another daily. How many of your Bibles you read, you may be comparing this, what's on the blueprint, and what's been printed in your other, your electronic device or some sort. It says encourage one another. What's that Greek word, parakaleo, where you come alongside and you encourage and you exhort. It's a double-sided coin. You're encouraging people when you need comfort them when they need it, and when they need a good warning, hey, don't do that. You know, that's not helping. You exhort too in that way. But for us to be doing this, exhorting one another every day, it implies a couple of things. One is we got to get involved. We got to be in somebody's life. So we have to understand them a bit. And you know, I just can't come up to a stranger and start exhorting them. You should... Bonnie's got this gift of exhortation. I don't know, I think you've heard me say this before, but she was talking about how this person ran across in front of the C9 and jumped into it, and she said, "You've got to be careful, that's very dangerous." And the bus driver had been driving, slams on the brake, and everybody's going like this, in the bus, and she says, "Oh, I'm always safe, I'm never dangerous." The lady did it. And then Bonnie was, "Well, I better not say any more, but when we get to know each other as brothers and sisters who care for one another, and our object is not to judge anyone in here, but to help each other be more loving and more Christ-like, yeah, we can say things to one another that are warning, and we should be there to comfort when people are hurting. So exhort one another daily and beware the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Just to summarize these few verses, how not to harden your heart, okay? How to keep our hearts soft. Exhort one another daily, okay? Get involved with each other. You can call someone up on the phone. You can use your phone to call people. You know that? It really does still work. You don't have to just send them a text. You can call them. Say, "Hi, how you doing?" If you want to send a text, that's fine. But I know many of you, you FaceTime or Skype your family about every day, don't you? Who's not here with you? Who overseas? To encourage and exhort. But we need to do that together. That's why we have one of the benefits of small groups, whether they're discipleship groups or Bible study groups, is we have opportunity. It provides a natural way to exhort one another. But daily exhorting. Beware the deceitfulness of sin. Is sleeping a sin? Not really. But you want me to tell you something? You try sleeping in a couple of Sundays and don't come to church. And before long, you're going to have a nice little sleep every Sunday. "Oh, it's okay, James. I can flip on, what's this guy's name? Joseph Prince or somebody else. I mean, these guys are great preachers compared to you." I know. I'm just an ordinary preacher guy. But don't be deceived. Oh, porno, that's a personal thing, It doesn't hurt my wife or anything else, it's just between, yeah, I confess it, God, I don't like to do it, but don't deceive yourself. You can act out those fantasies. And then in acting out those fantasies, you can catch sexually transmitted diseases. And then you can share those sexually transmitted diseases with your wife. I wish I could say this has never happened to any of my friends. But I know it has. So beware of the deceitfulness of sin. And you have Holy Spirit in you. And he's telling you, this is where you, James, this is where you, whatever your name is, fill in the blank, this is where you've got to be careful. Okay? And don't be deceived. And your hearts start to get hard and cold. So hold on to our confidence in Christ. Now, this one, this third one, is our original, how does the verse say? For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Now, when you came to faith in Christ, you didn't bring anything to the table, did you? "Hey, Jesus, look at what a great father I am. Look at what a great husband I've been. Don't you want me on your team, Jesus? Don't you want me to play for you?" No, you come and say, "Hey, look, I'm humbled before you, God. I understand how I'm so self-centered and selfish, and I don't think of other people, even my loved ones. I get too into my demands and my wants and don't think of their needs. But I come to you through faith because I believe that you really died for my sin. my lack of love for God, my lack of love for people. You died for that so that I can become that perfect righteousness that you are. I share in you, Christ. I have this confidence that what's going to get me from planet Earth to heaven is not my works, not my deeds, but what you did for me on the cross. And just as I am, I come through your blood. I don't need anything else. And because of your blood, I'm going to live for you now. I'm going to demonstrate this righteousness that comes through you through faith alone. I'm going to be an obedient person. So exhort one another daily, be aware of the deceitfulness of sin, and hold firm to your confidence in Christ alone. Now we're going to change a little bit of gears here, but I think if you'll just keep looking at the text, let God's word speak to you, and see if I'm not wrong on this one. If we do not exhort each one daily, if we ignore the deceitfulness of sin, and if we fail to hold on to our confidence that is by faith in the righteousness of Christ alone, not by works, if we fail to do those sort of things, not only will our heart not will become hard, but you know what? We're not going to enter this rest of God. And it's connected. This rest. I like to define it as glorify God and enjoy Him forever is our chief purpose on this planet, according to the Westminster Confession of Faith, which I encourage you, if you've never read the Westminster Confession of Faith, give it a go. It's got a shorter catechism and a longer one you can read if you want to read it in its entirety. But the chief end of man is to glorify and enjoy God. Now, we can think we're working at something to glorify God and not enjoy Him. I think our worship team enjoys singing. Did you? I think they do, you know. I've got to work at preaching, and sometimes when I'm not feeling well, I don't really, you know, feel like I'm really enjoying it as much as when I'm feeling better, but I enjoy preaching. Those who do children's ministry, I hope they are enjoying children's ministry. Whatever we do, we're enjoying God. But how do we get there? How do we do that? Okay, look. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? People who have been delivered out of slavery are the ones who are going to be rebellious. And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, 1.2 million people, 90 people dying a day? They were delivered from slavery, but they fell in the desert. And to whom did he swear that he would not, they would not enter his rest? It was these people of God, but to those who were disobedient. They were disobedient believers. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. We don't really enjoy God because we have unbelief. Believers, okay? People in the community of God don't enjoy God. Why? Because they have unbelief. Unbelief keeps people from enjoying God's rest. Trials are plentiful. West Virginia, 28 people drowned in floods. Fires burning out of control in California, 150 homes burned up. Who knows how many people were shot dead in the Middle East? Really? All this crazy stuff and trials are happening, and not just to non-Christians, it happens to Christians, right? Some of you have gone through some severe testing this particular year. I think of a sister who's lost a brother, and then we've had her father is taken ill with stroke, and it seems like everything just seems to be happening to this lady right now. What's going on? Is God uncaring? Does he not have power? Is he powerless? This is the unbelief that settled in among the Israelites. They began to think, life is so tough, you just don't care about me. I'd rather go back to Egypt or die in the wilderness than follow this guy Moses. Complaining and grumbling, that's a flag. That's a flag of unbelief. So unbelief keeps God's people from enjoying his rest. But the promise to enter his rest still stands. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, we now, today, can enter his rest. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. The collective desire of the writer of Hebrews is that all of us, we want to experience this rest of God now. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Now, this is where the promise to enter his rest is realized. For we who have believed enter that rest. It's more than just a Sabbath day. We're talking about a rest with God. It's all over. The works are all over. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, those unbelievers, those of Israel in the desert, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. This is where the mind of God becomes so much greater and higher than us. God's ways are so much greater than our ways. He did not go to plan A, plan B, plan C, develop things. It didn't evolve. How God saves. Before he created the world, he knew that there would be rebellion in Eden, and he knew that there would be an Abraham, and he knew that there would be a Joseph, and he knew that there would be a population of this Israel held under captivity by the Pharaoh, and he knew that Moses would lead them out, and he knew that their people would be rebellion, and he knew that Messiah would come to earth, he would be rejected, and he'd be nailed on the cross, and he knew that Christ would raise from the dead and be ascended into heaven and send Holy Spirit, and then you and I come into the game, and there's a Gentile influx of believers, and he knew that we would be tested in our faith, and he knew that what? God is going to come again to judge the living and the dead before the creation of the earth. Okay? But he wants us to enter that rest. Because when he created earth, knowing everything that was about to happen in history, he did what? He kicked back and said, it's good. It's good. And he enjoyed it. He rested in it because he knew what he was going to do and accomplish through the creation and salvation of mankind. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. This resting of God knows it's going to get tough, but it's going to end with this heavenly Jerusalem coming down and a new planet, new earth. Yeah, we're in the world. What's happening on this planet Earth? What's going on? Let's don't kid ourselves. It's really getting messy and messier. What hope do we have? It's called Christ. And his rest, we can enter that. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day. Today. Today. Saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, remember, he's one of the good spies. He's the guy who takes them in to the promised land. God would not have spoken of another day later on. The Psalms are written later on. Remember King David and all those guys? They don't come till later on. That's after Joshua. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The rest of God to experience this rest needs to be our goal. There's two types of people out here. There's some of us who say, I'll just be disobedient. And because sin seems to be nicer, seems to be more pleasurable. It seems to give me more comfort as I go through this life journey. We may try to cover that up by being busy with religious activity. But then others of us are striving so hard to make sure that God loves us, because I've got to serve in the church, and I've got to be a good husband, and I've got to be a good father, and I've got to. And we've never really known what it means just to rest in Jesus' righteousness. So we have those two problems of lawlessness and legalism. And they're tugging at our hearts. And so this is why Paul says we've got to do what? We've got to strive to enter that rest. We don't want to be disobedient, unbelieving. God does care and God is powerful. You and I have trials that are our own particular sort. We don't want to fall away by the same sort of disobedience as the children of Israel. Now there's some great passages in Hebrews, and we still got some to come, but I would say this is number two. Number one would be Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Memorize that. If you're going to memorize something, how many of you already know these verses? You can almost recite them. Pretty familiar, aren't they? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That in itself is one sermon, but to make a long story short, the word of God gets right to your heart. It goes to the issues of what? Of soul and spirit issues, of the thoughts and intentions of your heart. The word of God. Okay, we've got this. If you hear his word, don't harden your heart. Okay, enter his rest. Don't be disobedient. Be aware of the deceitfulness of sin, and hold on to that confidence that you had in originally when you came to faith in Christ. And you know what? It's all tied with the word of God. Remain in the word of God, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the message just keeps coming over and over again through every book of the Bible, that what? You and I do not live by bread alone, by rice alone, by noodles alone, by whatever you want to think you need to live alone. You don't do that. You live by what? The Word of God. Because it's quick and active and sharp and pierces into the heart, and it shows me, James, you are a sinner. And what do you need? You need a Savior. You need Jesus. And so every time I go into this Word of God, it tries me on my knees and shows me how a sinful man I am. Hey, how many of you heard Steve's sermon last week? Okay. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but instead bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. I think God got that wrong. It should be, children, don't provoke your father to anger. You know, I blew it this week. I got angry, and if you want to talk to Ruth about it, she may want to say something, but I doubt it. But I got angry with my daughter, and I'm ashamed of that. But I hope you know, my righteousness is not in my behavior. It's, I have to come to Christ again and say, forgive me. I want to thank you, Jesus, that when your anger, your wrath comes out, it's perfect, it's pure, and it's holy, and it's good. It's good for your people. But when mine comes out, ugh, it was not. And I thank you, you died for the way I sinned against Ruth in my anger. And I thank you, dear Jesus, that what? That by faith I cling to your purity and your holiness, and including how you express anger. The Word of God, it's powerful, and it drives me to see what a sinful person I am, but it doesn't
do that. Holy Spirit isn't there to make you feel lousy, but to make you show you there's a Savior. Enter his rest. Confess your sin. That's all. And cling to Jesus' obedience. And the more I confess and the more I do this confessing and believing, the more I begin to see the Holy Spirit changes me and I become a more self-controlled person, a more patient person, a more kind person. The Word of God always leads us to the living Word. So, summary, the Word of God, when heard with ears of faith, results in entering his rest. We don't be afraid of the Word of God. We listen to it. So the application, there it is. Said three times. I told you from the beginning, if you get this, if you can get this, okay. Today, the 26th of June, 2016, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You know, you can hear his voice and harden your hearts. You can. But today, don't do that. I've got a little handout for you. Let's see. Terrell, can I pick on you? We don't have Terrell around too many more weeks. And Bo, Ariel, could you help me? Tom, could I get you to help too? The July issue of Living Life has hit the publication, all right? So this is our daily devotional we're trying to encourage you to use. And we anticipated that our DB family would be down in population, but at least take one. Bonnie and I use one a piece. And daily devotionals, it'll be studying the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Joshua 1 to 9. If you don't really like the commentary, that's all right. I think most people use this resource, love the commentary, but what it has here is the words of God, and you can mark it, and you can circle things, and do all kinds of stuff with this. But take this as well as some great articles, reviews of books and music. But wanted to just help you make sure you get one in your hand today to take home with you. So it helps us do what? Get into the Word of God daily, because we need to be exhorting one another every day, daily. And one of the ways these guys, they get you into the Word of God, but then when you read their little writings, that's where their exhortation is coming at you. Bonnie and I, once a week, we get together and we review, and it's been pretty good. The study of June was in Nehemiah, and seeing all that's taken place, how the Jerusalem exiles, when they returned and they heard the Word of God, you know what they did? Their sermon was like 6 hours. And their sermon, when they heard the book of the law read, they fell on their faces in worship. You know, we have some expressive worshiping in here, but I've not seen us weep and fall on our faces in worship. But that's what they did. And this all came from reading, getting into in-depth reading of Nehemiah and June issue. But this is for July. So take it with you on holiday. Stay in the Word of God over summer. Okay? So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And remember, every day is called today. So don't listen to his voice every day. Oops, I've lost something. Okay, I've lost a slide. So exhort one another daily as long as it's called today. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. And hold on to Jesus. Let's pray. Now, there could be someone here this morning who doesn't have a personal faith in Christ. He is real. He died for you on the cross. All you have to do is say, yes, I believe, Jesus, that you were real. You came and died on that cross. You're raised from the dead. You've ascended to heaven. You're going to come again. You're going to judge. And I just want to say thank you for dying for me. If you've never done that, that's all you got to do is pray that prayer. I believe you, Jesus, and now I want to follow you. Don't leave today. Remember what? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you haven't believed in Christ and you're finding yourself in this group of believers, you've got some loved one nearby who's brought you to church, and just talk things over with them. If you want to talk with me, that's great too. But don't pass by today. For today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let's pray. Father, there's all kinds of good things we can do during our summer holiday. But one thing that I pray that I will do, and I pray for my brothers and sisters and friends of DBIC, that we will listen to your voice and keep our hearts soft. We'll enter your rest because we know there's no way we could ever be holy apart from that great sacrifice you gave us, Jesus the Christ, who is the Word of God, full of grace and truth. So, Father, I pray, keep me and my friends from the deceitfulness of sin, and keep us holding on to Christ this summer. And I thank you for those in Living Life who make this publication available, and I pray the blessing of the reading of the Word of God and the daily grasping your grace and engaging with you over your truth. And we thank you again for your words you've given to us. And we can hear Holy Spirit speak every day. And it's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.